All right, we're going to wrap it up tonight in big style here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. You call them at 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll handle your case. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Might get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, possibly maritime. You might work construction. You might even drive an 18-wheeler. If you get in an accident, it's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. You need the best. All right, Ross Smith, Apple TV commentator. You've known him for many, many years as a commentator for the Portland Timbers, also a former professional soccer player. Ross joins us now. Ross, how are you?
Glenn, it's great to see you. It's been
too
long.
Hobnobbing with the celebrities. You're down in Miami. Just tell us what you're doing down there. You got the final game for Inter Miami and Charlotte FC.
I went for a walk. I'm the only redhead on the beach here in Fort Lauderdale, I think, Glenn. I'm down here for the Miami-Charlotte game tomorrow night, the penultimate match for both clubs before what could be the end of the season for both clubs as well. It certainly is for Inter Miami after what has been a tremendous run. But for Charlotte, they're still in it. They're very much in the thick of things. They have a game on hand, in hand against the teams around them to try and make it above the playoff line. So it's an interesting one. There's no Lionel Messi. That's the one edge of disappointment. But Tata Martino has revealed there's a couple of players that will be available. Jordi Alba is one to mention. He's missed the last five games. So I know fans will enjoy hearing the fact that Alba is considered for selection.
All right. Since Leo's not there, you can always ask for a refund. You know that.
yeah, I can.
Whatever happened to buyer beware, right? I mean, these fans, because he's not coming to the market, we want a refund.
Chicago did well with that, didn't they? Just what they offered as well to continue to intrigue fans and what have you. But yeah, it's funny.
Tricky. All right. Let's get into what's most on the mind of Houston Dynamo fans, and that is the Dynamo at Portland. There's a lot at stake in this one. This will be decision day on Saturday for the Timbers. It's win, get in the playoffs, avoid that play-in game for the Dynamo. I mean, look, could end up between second and sixth in the standings here. With your history in Portland, where do you see the Timbers positioned right now?
It's a tough one because Montreal, their result against Montreal, the loss last week, knocked them back. And so I think there's going to be a little bit of a recovery from that. But going into that Montreal game, Glenn, I thought the Portland Timbers brand had returned. And I know you have followed them so closely for years. And that brand of being exciting in transition, almost having a little bit of swagger, personality to themselves, and difficult to beat. It all started to come back since the managerial change of Giovanni Savarese, who I worked under for a number of years and was a terrific servant to the club, obviously, but human being and person. So it was tough to see him exit. He exited after the Houston Dynamo loss in Houston, which, you know, I've said this, there's some players on the pitch that day for the Timbers, I think, should never pull on a kit ever again for the Portland Timbers. No matter what manager is in the technical area, it's a non-negotiable. I know you stand by this in terms of work rate, Glenn. I just couldn't believe the lack of effort from some of the Timbers players.
You know, we just to let you know, on the broadcast with Bobby Boswell and I,
there's another great player.
It was hard not to call it unprofessional, which I ultimately did, but
yeah,
I couldn't believe to a degree what I was seeing. And, you know, our booth is a lot lower than the TV booth. So, you know, you're looking at guys that are literally probably, you know, 40 yards away from you. And it was stunning.
Incredible, isn't it? I almost feel there's times where I imagine owners, people who are writing the paycheck should say, you're not getting paid today. You know, you didn't turn up for work. And that's what it felt like. And it's been very rare in my time in Portland where I've felt that way. So, you know, to that, there's been a change, though. There's been a change in the manager and the attitude. And to a large extent, the swagger has returned. Felipe Moore has returned from a long, long time out, which is tough. Gio didn't get a chance to run him out. So, you know, that's difficult on the manager, not having your best players available. But Moore has made a terrific difference. I mean, since he's come into the team, he's just that different type of striker, always sniffing out chances. So he's one to watch, of course, for Houston Dynamo fans.
Yeah, and Felipe Mora, at the time of this discussion between you and me, is I don't probably playing for, well, he's on the bench for Chile and South America. He was called up for World Cup qualifiers. But the fact that this guy's coming back from two knee surgeries at 30, that's part of the story too, isn't it? He's got 5 goals and 2 assists since he's kind of come back.
I think what saves him, Glenn, he's never looked at his pace to be able to be the difference in what sets him apart. It's just his knack for knowing where the ball is going to drop, his movement off the ball. And I think that has brought other players to life. Like Santiago Moreno has shown a lot of promise, but has had a big dip over the last year and a half. Well, he's starting to show a lot why the Timbers brought him back in. So that makes a difference. I think Brian Acosta, I think the fact that he's come in with Diego Chara when was out after appendicitis with a surgery, Acosta has done a terrific job as well. So holding things down, usually when there's no Chara, there's no 3 points, but the Timbers have found a way.
Talking to Ross Smith, Apple TV, longtime commentator for the Portland Timbers, and also he's been on this show many, many times. Don't come back to me asking for back pay or anything, Ross, okay? Because you have been on here a lot, and we've always appreciated your insight on everything. The difference between the road and home and this final game, I guess, is the next question. You know, what do you think that's about? I mean, that's obviously something that plagues a lot of MLS teams. Just want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, the difficulty going away for teams. It's tough when you have to go and get a result. I mean, of course, it's been widely chatted about it in terms of with the travel, but the travel that I think has been made a lot easier for players since COVID, the fact that they're all traveling charter now. So the heaviness in the legs isn't quite what it was. In terms of different climates that you're going into now, the hot parts of America, they're not so much. And so it's a bit of a leveler, I would say, more than perhaps it's ever been. Then it comes down to environment. And I think the environment, you know, for me, traveling around, Glenn, I've had the chance now from being with Portland for my entire broadcasting time now to traveling just about every weekend and seeing different parts of the country. It's neat to see different environments and to see how some teams, they thrive in it, and other teams and opponents, I should say, thrive into going in to the cauldron and trying to survive. And other teams, you can see it's too big an occasion. One of those that stand out for me, new team, I don't know if you've been there yet, St. Louis City, their City Park is phenomenal. It's up there, but I still put Portland Timbers Providence Park as one of the top environments and most intimidating environments to go into.
So speak to me on the intimidating environments. Is that all about, you know, obviously artificial surface, the field is tight. I think it's one of the coolest environments. Plus Elvis Presley played there once, so that makes it even better. But, you know, is it because of the Timbers Army? Is it because strictly the acoustics and them getting into you? I mean, what beyond that is it?
Yeah, it's, you know, from when you played, if you start to have a tough time in a game and then the crowd's on top of you as well, the crowd's energizing the players opposite you, that's only unless you have that strong character. You know, I've been here before. I've done it. I can find my way through it. I think of like your center back, Sviatchenko, how he is, like just that strong personality. You know, he can see his way through it. Whereas, you know, some youngsters, their shoulders might curl in and then it just all of a sudden starts to layer on top of it the problems. And then you start to magnify the problems and then you want to go missing. So, you know, I've definitely seen that this year with some younger players who just aren't fit for the occasion.
But, you know, as you say that, I'm thinking about the Dynamo. This is a team laden with experience from Hector Herrera to Artur to Eric Sviatchenko, who's been a remarkable signing.
Yeah.
So there is a blend of experience to do the guiding there. I think Franco Escobar certainly can handle these types of occasions. So I think from the standpoint of that, it's a different Dynamo. It is a different Portland. How much of the change is simply about the organics of a coach being removed and sort of having to reprove yourself? And how much of it do you think is the interim manager, Miles Joseph?
I was there for one of the first games that Miles Joseph took over, and I love to get up onto the training ground because I feel like you get a really good feel for the player to manager relationship. I've seen Ben Olsen with his players as well when they took on St. Louis and they took a tough loss to St. Louis, but they put up a good fight. Anyways, to that and time with the manager, what I saw from Miles Joseph was the clarity of roles. And that was within two or three games since Gio and the Timbers had parted ways. And Miles is more or less, and I'm amazed by this sometimes, Glenn, because you would just take it for granted that the players know what they're doing. Players know what's expected of them. But I would say there's quite a large percentage across the league where, and maybe teams towards the bottom half, there's not that clarity in role, or players don't agree with what the manager wants from them and then won't carry it out onto the pitch. I think what Miles has done, he's simplified things. He's gone to each player and said, hey, I need this from you. I need this from you. And you've seen that difference. And part of that at the time was getting the wide players wide. And that sounds so simple, but it's with that thought of opening up the game a little bit more for Evander in the center of the park, who for me has dipped in and out of form. I still don't think he's hit the heights to what he should, but I'm starting to see a smile return to his face. And I did a big piece about him when he came to the league, the biggest transfer in Timbers history, reported around 10 million or so. But I just thought this guy oozes personality. It's exactly what the Timbers need. And he's barely smiled since he came in. But since Miles has taken over, start to see that swagger come back. But part of it is opening up the game for him. And I'm giving you one just simple little tactic that I know Miles Joseph put into to play, and getting Santi Moreno isolated a little bit more, Dairon Asprilla. But it's all with the thought of how can we get the best out of our top player.
But isn't that what it's all about in MLS? I mean, your designated players are supposed to be the guys that are going to win you games. They're your best players in a lot of cases. Yeah. Certainly the case with Hector Herrera here. I mean, there's no secret. He runs the show. And by the way, Evander was one of the guys who did not run that day in the 5-0 loss, because he was right in front of me. And I couldn't believe it, because a friend of mine who's a great sponsor of this show, Jan Christensen, as a company called Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. And when Evander was coming over, he was just through the moon going, this guy's outstanding. And we know he's outstanding and he's talented. But that's going to be an interesting one for the Dynamo, because the Dynamo are a narrow team in a lot of ways. They've recently added some width to their game. And it's going to be interesting if Hector Herrera and Artur and the Dynamo box midfield and the center backs can take the edge off Evander. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's interesting to note that Miles Joseph comes in and just says, hey, look, we got to get the best out of this guy. What can we do around him?
Mm-hmm. Would that be similar to Ben Olsen? I remember before the St. Louis game, I ran into Ben Olsen in the Starbucks across the street from the hotel.
You were stalking him. Stop stalking Ben, will you?
I said, Ben, I'm promising I'm not trying to get any more out of you. We already have our Zoom calls.
That's reverse. No women stalking you. You're stalking Ben Olsen.
We have a mutual friend out of Nashville, where I'm based as well. And so we traded a few stories. Steve Guppy, who's assistant at Nashville, was a teammate with Ben Olsen as well. Yeah. So you know how it is, Glenn, that when you can link up with somebody through other friends and what have you. Anyways, what I got from it is what Ben Olsen was getting out of Hector Herrera as well, and managing that personality. And you think what Ben Olsen did with DC United and managing, with Wayne Rooney, with
or maybe let me give you the other side of it, or maybe not managing. And I don't mean that in
awesome. Yeah.
By giving a superstar room, that is managing him. Right. I mean, I have to think Hector Herrera has a lot of influence on the way the team plays. I mean, I've heard Asher Mendelsohn, Pat Onstad, they've all said that. And why wouldn't you go into that think tank from a guy from Atletico Madrid, right?
Yeah.
I think there's an art to it. I think Ben Olsen and Hector Herrera have a tremendous relationship. And that's all credit to Ben Olsen, really, because you and I have seen coaches come in and want to read the riot act to guys that have played in places that they've never even seen or been near, and it backfires.
Yeah, that's. I look at Brian Smetzer and what he's done in Seattle. I sat in on their training session the other day, and he was that old school type manager where, you know, their presence is felt, but they don't say a word throughout the entire training session. He just does laps around the training ground, But in terms of him managing the big personalities, and Gonzalo Pineda, who's with Atlanta United, he said, I started to learn how to manage the difference between, Almada and one of my senior players. And while Almada is a top player, he hasn't earned the right to get away with, you know what, boss, I don't want to train today. I want to, take a day in the weight room or in the sauna or something like that. You know, Gonzalo Pineda is like, you haven't earned that yet. That's for my senior players. And anyways, all that, the managing it. It's, I think the successful managers are the ones who understand there's different rules for different players.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is great conversation here. We're talking to Ross Smith. He's on the call of Inter Miami and Charlotte tomorrow night. But he has long time been a Portland Timbers announcer, former professional soccer player as well. And we've had him on this show many, many times. Dyrone Asprilla, speak about him, because if he decides to play on any given night, he is a handful.
Oh, I don't have the numbers in front of me, Glenn, but he's earned the nickname Mr. October, and for good reason. Some of the goals that he has scored in his time has been spectacular. And, almost not to discredit him, but he doesn't really put up the numbers during the regular season, and it only comes about in playoffs where the money-making end of the season, I think, ownership and everybody would be okay with that. And he's consistently turned up during this time of year. I mean, he has become through and through a Portland Timber. When you look back like 3-4 years ago, it was a bit of a difficult period, and he was sent away on loan. And I thought Dyrone Asprilla and his attitude and what have you, it wasn't mixing with whether Caleb Porter or whether with Gio. And I thought that was the end of Dyrone Asprilla. And, what he's done over the last 3 years or so, he is a club man through and through, which is terrific to see. In this day and age, when players are coming in and out of clubs, he is through and through Portland Timbers. What you see on the pitch, athletically, he can change a game at any moment. What he's capable of, the acrobats in and around the box, he can hit from 30, 35 yards out. When you talk about personality, when he's on, he can really change a game. I look at Quiñones for Houston Dynamo, and at times, I almost wish Asprilla was a little bit more like that. Just get your head down and run at guys. But for me, Asprilla is more now in the box, and the ball bounces to him and he'll come up with something.
It's interesting. I remember talking about him with you many years ago, Eddie Robinson and I, on some of the broadcasts between the Dynamo and the Timbers. I remember, a lot of banter and talk around, wow, this guy's got tools, he's got a toolkit. I mean, but will he ever mature? And that's the amazing story about him. I think for 6 years, he hardly scored any goals.
Yeah.
The fact that he was even still there to then produce 2 seasons of 10 goals and now be a guy that's talked about and looked about in a different light. Is that simply maturity? And then, he was there forever. And he was not producing anything. So somebody obviously thought, we're giving this guy as much time as possible.
I think it was into his second season or third season, Glenn, and he had a great game, and we hadn't seen it for a while. And he did a post game with us, and he refers to himself in third person. He said, Dyrone just needed to have a chance. And I thought, goodness me, Dyrone, you've had 3 seasons of chances. You've been given chances. But, to that, I think the maturity, he's really close with Diego Chara. I think Chara has done a phenomenal job at putting his arm around him and guiding him during tough times when I think Dyrone Asprilla was going to be out the club. And I have never sat with Dyrone, but I know he lost his father a couple of years ago. And I know this from him celebrating, where he would take off his shirt, get a booking, but it was a picture of his dad on his shirt. And I think that coincided with us seeing a different Dyrone, a softer temperament of a Dyrone, but channeling his energy in the right ways.
Yeah, those are the types of things that maybe change your outlook on life. Mm-hmm. By the way, Zlatan's the only guy who can speak in third person, right?
Dyrone's got to
dial that one back a little bit, I think.
Oh, we had a good chuckle out. He was on the interview with us, and of course, right? He's such a lovely human being, but we had a good chuckle at that.
Ross, if I catch you speaking in third person, you're going to be in real trouble. You're going to get slashed on ESPN 97.5. All right. Zach McGraw, interesting story, right? Went to, I believe, Army, right?
He did.
First player ever drafted out of Army, military. He's turned into a pretty outstanding center back. Now, I know he's had a few injury problems as of late, but maybe you could speak to him.
A no-nonsense, old-school type defender who, again, when you look at a club man, a guy who puts the team first, I mean, that's certainly him. And he's just built of steel, and he's built of steel through his actual build. But what is behind him? And when you talk about that, his time at Army, I sat with him a couple years ago, and I forget what the name of the challenge was. It's almost essentially your initiation when you go in. And the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they are literally trying to just bring you down, trying to break you to bits before they build you back up. And it's a certain sort of initiation that they refer to. And I chatted to him about that. And he said, you know, how awful it was that so many guys pull out, they're done. And he kept thinking, you know, do I pull out? I've had enough. This isn't right. But when you come through the other side. So I think when you asked me about like the stadiums and going into it, you've been a player, you know all about that, Glenn. I think when you've gone through the hard knocks and you build that tough outer coating like Zach has, I think he's unfazed. He's unfazed if during the times when he was dropped, if he was playing well, he's unfazed coming up against a top attacker, striker. And so he's built to succeed. I think for all that he is good, everything in front of him, I think, you know, anything in the air, he'll go and deal with tough tackles. He loves that matchup. But I think just with him, where he needs to mature a bit is his movement and his understanding of where the danger is at times. If he plays up against like Aliyu, I think his movement sometimes could cause Zach McGraw problems, that Zach McGraw almost starts to drift and he gets sucked into areas he doesn't need to go. He needs to pass players off. But he's still somewhat young, and I think there's still a lot of growth there. Liam Ridgewell's assistant for the Timbers now under Miles Joseph.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's moved up, I guess I would say, a notch. He was assistant under Gio, but he's the first assistant under Miles. And I think the growth of Zach McGraw, I don't think it's any surprise the fact that it's correlating with the fact that there's been a shift in Ridgie's position and Ridgie's voice on the training ground.
I mean, is he a guy that can be moved by the dynamo? I mean, as a center back, can they tease him out of the middle? Can they get him out of the indigenous zone there, which backs need to be in when the ball ultimately gets there?
It'd be interesting. I mean, I look at the movement between what you have with Bassi, what you have with, if it's Corey Baird, Karaskia, I think, I mean, you know best, Glenn, but on his day, Karaskia, I mean, he's one that I would pay money to go and watch. I just think what he can do at times, but does he always deliver in that final third? I think that's what frustrates me.
That's the question with him, is end product. Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of people around the country forget he's playing out of position. You know, with Panama, he sits deeper and he looks like a world beater, and he's got a number of Spanish teams around him. So there's been a little bit more chatter around that, potentially him moving in the off season. But yeah.
Raider.
30 seconds, because we're on a little bit of a timeline here, Ross, but you know, just through your lens this year and over the years, Major League Soccer, just, you know, maybe how it's changed and what you see at this point in time.
I see it's where more teams are the quality has definitely come up from the bottom level up. The top level, I don't think you're seeing that separation as much now with world beaters like LAFC when Carlos Vela was in his prime and, you know, they were almost untouchable. I don't think you really have those untouchable teams anymore, but certainly the level from the bottom has come up. And when I look at it going into playoffs, I do think the East is stronger right now, but I do pick Houston Dynamo, and I shouldn't say as my under the radar sneaky pick, because they've shown it throughout the season how good they are. But, you know, everybody wants to look to the LAFCs to do well. The Portland, if they make the playoffs, you know, I guess when you look over the last few years, the bigger clubs who have had success, I think Houston could surprise a lot of teams. So, but it's tough to pick. I think out of all years, it's the most difficult one. I've got the most amount of teams who I'm picking to win it.
Dangerous animal, the Houston Dynamo. I agree with you 100%. They got a lot of things in place. That's Ross Smith. Ross, have a great call on the Inter-Miami-Charlotte game. It's always great to catch up with a great friend. Thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Likewise. Thank you, Glenn. Great to see you.
Ross ends it in great style for us tonight here. That's some great conversation on the Portland Timbers from him. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. Subscribe to the podcast, Soccer Matters, Spotify, Apple, and Google. And don't forget, this Saturday night, we have the call of the Dynamo at the Portland Timbers. That'll do it for us tonight. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Good night.